Zondervan presents When Did We Lose Harriet? Book 1 in the McLaren Yarborough Mysteries by Patricia Sprinkle. Read by Laurel Merlington. For Sarah Gay Edwards, for years of laughter, friendship, and counsel, and for letting Jake and Glenna share your neighborhood. Preface. Montgomery, Alabama is a charming city with big, beautiful homes and the most hospitable people in the world. Natives may wonder why this book set in Montgomery then doesn't just deal with charming parts of town and leave out the rest. It is the nature of fiction that characters have lives of their own. Characters in this story kept wandering in from all over town, and I could not be fair to their story if I didn't let them live where they felt most at home. To those who would complain, "But Montgomery isn't like that," I would urge you to sample the rich diversity of your wonderful city. And if you'll let me come back, I'll set a murder on the Shakespeare Festival grounds with your favorite people. I have taken liberties with the community around Rosa L. Parks Avenue. The teen center in this book does not exist, although maybe it should. The Rosa L. Parks Branch Library does exist, and Teresa Temple and her wonderful staff gave me almost as much help as they do my detective. They also repeatedly told me no librarian could give out the address of a patron, which forced me to come up with a fictitious way around that law. I want to thank Judge Mildred Ann Palmer, who inspired this whole series. Special thanks to several Montgomery people who helped me with research. Sarah Gay Edwards housed me, fed me, encouraged me, and acted like a mean teacher with a red pen to help me get the book as accurate as possible. Allison Gore, Craig Cornwell, Kimball Forrester, and the staff at Alabama Arise shared their perceptions of the city. Carol Gundlach and John Boo Starling talked in his hospital room about teenagers in Montgomery. The Rosa L. Parks Avenue branch librarians let me use both their library and their books. Two nice men in Cottage Hill left their truck and reconstruction deliberations long enough to fill me in on some of the characteristics of that neighborhood. Eleanor Lucas at Capital Book and News recommended the new Chamber of Commerce book on Montgomery just when I needed it. I hope I've been faithful to the help all of you so graciously gave me. Thanks also to Julie Martins, gardening editor, Southern Living Magazine, for help with plants that would be in bloom in Montgomery in July, and to Dr. Lee Hearns, Toxicology Department, Metro-Dade Medical Examiner's Office, for invaluable assistance on the forensics aspects of this mystery. I promise, Lee, not to tell everything I now know, nor to use it. Finally, thanks as always to Anne Strehata, Paula Rea, my agent, Dominic Abel, and my editor, Dave Lambert, who all read the manuscript and made me redo it until I got it right. Thanks. I could not have done it without all of you. June. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. Proverbs 9:18. 1. The step was steeper than Harriet expected. She stumbled, fell face forward, and caught herself just in time to plunge awkwardly off the bus into the breath-sucking heat that smothers Alabama in June. She glared down the long sidewalk, strafed by the noonday sun, then turned back accusingly to the driver. "This is the closest you can get? It's got to be 2 blocks, and it's hotter than a stove out here."
"You can go on a block or two if you like," he said with practiced patience. "But this is the stop you asked for. You won't get any closer."
Outrage in every movement, she shrugged on her backpack and whirled away. He closed the door. When the bus roared off in a noxious cloud, she felt suddenly, inexplicably, abandoned. Raising one fist to her mouth, she coughed dramatically in case the driver was watching. Harriet liked playing to an audience. Still playing, she adjusted her backpack and stomped off in the direction of Oakwood Cemetery, as instructed. The bus driver, Jerry Banks, caught one final glimpse of her in his side mirror. He was glad his wife Nettie couldn't see that kid. Now that their own two were grown, Nettie was always bringing home strays. She would know what to do with this one. Eyes
Sample complete. Ready to continue?